Next meeting will be on August 19th, 1990, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, then, good morning, my friends. I think you will find, those of you who choose to come in these last months of our work together, that much of the material that has been presented will be presented in what we hope will be a way that will remind you of the past presentation and perhaps do something to expand your understanding around it. There are very few new subjects to be given along the idea of deepening your connection with the God Self. But what there are ways to have, in the presence of hearing something, expanding your own being at the same time. The reason that many of you come here month after month is not so much to hear some kind of new information, because the part of you that is the knower already knows, but it is to be the reminder. It is that which comes in and asks you to remember once again. It is that which comes in that says, let us be ready to experience those deeper reaches of consciousness that are always lying waiting just for you to turn your awareness toward them. So with this having been said, let us present what is perhaps a slightly different idea or modality of what is happening in your life, and perhaps in this new way of reflection, something deeper might come into your consciousness. We'll begin by saying that everything outside of yourself, that you perceive to be outside of yourself, is a mirror. A magnificent mirror of life, a mirror of consciousness, a mirror of action, of activity, of creativity, of wonder. And as you learn to look at this mirror moment after moment, from the time that you were very small until whatever you are in time space at this moment, you add fragments to this mirror. It isn't that you were born and the entire mirror of consciousness plays out in front of your eyes. If so, every child would say, good heavens, this is a very complicated game. I think I'll go back where I came from. Because with such a splay of awareness there, it would be very difficult to quietly make your way through the different choice points. But what happens, and remember, we are speaking in a sense in lies. We're trying to bring to you some verbalization of a non-verbal experience. So please bear with this and realize it's just simply one way of talking about things. So what happens as an infant moving through all the stages, what you do, my friends, is add parts to the mirror of consciousness that is before you. You add slivers, if you will, of the mirror, and you begin to create it in different patterns and different forms. Now, let us say that you have a twin and you were born just a moment different from each other. Even in that moment, your mirrors will be entirely different. And therefore, your response from the world is going to be different. There is no way to ever state inside of your being that your mirror is in any way exact like any other mirror. Now, the reason I bring this forward is there is an unstated thing in relationships that can come in to block and to make your life more difficult unless you understand this part of what I would call the creation of your own mirror. As you are seated in the center of your own life, creating the mirror as you accumulate various pieces of data, the books you read, the people you meet, the events that happen to you, things that you hear, the house that you live in, the city, the town, the country, wherever it might be, you are creating a magnificent mirror of consciousness. And part of it is beautiful, and part of it is painful, part of it is boring, part of it is exciting. It is the totality of things. Now, someone right next to you, having built a very different mirror, when it's time now to get some kind of intimacy between you, when you want to truly get to that place where you can become aware of and free to accept the other person's mirroring, what you expect from them, and which can never take place, is that their mirror is going to look like yours. And if you will please hear this in the deepest part of your being, you will realize that it is an impossible difficulty that you are setting up. That includes your children. Many of you think that just because your children have been raised in your particular home environment, that they are going to have mirrors like yours. Well, my friends, you have forgotten about the first 25, 30 years that you spent creating your own mirror that looks totally different from theirs. There is no way that any one of you is able to have the same reflection. Now, what does this mean in common term? It means that the most difficult job of being in a relationship with any person whatsoever, no matter whether it's intimate, as in parent-child, or lover, or whatever it might be, is if your expectation is that they are going to hear and see and experience things the same way you do and therefore agree with you, you are in for nothing but heartache. And I present this to you so that you can begin to be more free with your dropping of the expectation of absolutely similar mirrorings. Now, one of the exciting things in a relationship, and that includes children as well as other relationships, is it is a delight to meet someone who has a mirror that's very different from your own. It is a very exciting thing, and it's part of the whole human substrata, if you can get to that point, that says, I don't want to spend my life just looking at my mirror. What I would like is for you, please, to add additional sparkle, wonder, beauty, depth, creativity to my mirror by showing me those places within us where we differ. Instead of trying to find the places where you agree and therefore just have a similarity, the excitement in the creation of the mirror, which is the creative act that you are constantly undergoing, is to be able to add to your mirror rather than in any way to keep it the same. Now, I understand that the ego says to you with a very strong voice, if this mirror that is presented does not look like your own mirror, then there is a great deal of discussion as to who is right and who is wrong, who is going to win and who is going to lose. Now, with that kind of a model in place, which is the ego's basic desire, because after all, the ego is the mirror, it is the ego eyes that look at the mirror and see the ego by looking at the mirror. Because the ego is very much attracted to and is run by this idea that the mirrors have to be the same, this voice is constantly going on that says, those people who have mirrors different from yours are somehow strange, are somehow fearful, somehow should be put out of your awareness and only concentrate on those who are similar. Now, I would ask you from this moment onward to realize, to look at that model and to realize how very deadly and boring and in some ways life-killing that view of consciousness is. If you would just this moment decide to move out of that view of things that the ego has been trying to give to you time after time, and to begin to be excited about having other people add to your mirror through their own perceptions of things, you will get into a very deep feeling of contentedness. Relationship on any level should be one of contentment. There should be a sense of, when I am in your presence, my mirror is added unto. My depth is increased. My sense of beauty and wonder, my extension, my vastness is increased by being in your presence and is in no way made less because you present to me something that differs from what I already have as my view of the reality of things. If you would dwell on this deeply within the next few weeks, I think you will come to understand that in this way of seeing things, the world becomes your growth. The world is not there to fight against. It is not there so that you can deliberate as to who is right or wrong. It is there to expand you. You have to decide, is the world there for you to judge and make yourself feel better in judging yourself better than the mirrors that you see? Or is it perhaps something quite different going on? Is not the whole world there to mirror something more magnificent than just a complete eternal validation of your own ego structure? When you begin to understand the delightful expanse that is available to you, your whole being will begin to sing in a new way. And then everyone you meet, no matter how outrageous their ideas might be, if you can just hold that point of heart that says, I want to hear it. My friends, look, when you hear something, you are not obligated to go inside and make a decision, a judgmental statement, I agree or I disagree. That is the ego speaking to you, and I ask you to put that idea aside and just say that whatever information is coming at you, what is really most expansive is for you to say, I want to hear it all. Some of you say, I want it all. What do you mean? It doesn't mean that you want your physical body to run around this earth doing everything. Do you know how long you would last? Just simply on an energy level. It's impossible. So what does this mean? You say, I want to experience it all. You know you cannot experience being a monk and a celibate and at the same time have a wonderful love affair. You know, you have to be honest with yourself. But what do you mean when you say, I want to experience it all? I would like for you to think about the possibility that is a deep reflection of the inner core of you that's saying, allow yourself, my friend, you're talking, this deep self is now talking to you, allow yourself to add in a magnificent, magnificent vastness as many separate pieces of the mirror of consciousness as you can and place them with beauty and gratitude and a sense of integrity in the vast mirror of your own consciousness. You do not have to act on every piece within the consciousness. You do not have to become like any part that you see mirrored. You do not have to follow in anyone's path. You simply have, if you wish, the ability to allow all those varying pieces to come down in their sparkling light of wholeness and rest as part of your vastness. What this ends up happening inside is, as you do this moment after moment, week after week, adding to, you begin to lose the necessity to weigh everything. Remember Zorba? You know, they weigh everything. Well, you don't need to weigh things. You just need to allow them to come through you, into you, and in so doing, they become a part of the mirror of consciousness, and you will find that you're missing out on a lot of fragments that are exciting, dynamic, creative, and a lot of fun. It is no fun, my friends, to see the same mirror image back and back and back. If you begin to pay attention to what your arguments are about with those that are close to you, and you begin to have that degree of honesty that says something is awry because instead of being able to incorporate and absorb and be grateful for and add this piece to me, somehow I'm resisting, you will find what the resistance is. The resistance almost always, if you look at it carefully, reflects something back into you in the sense of fear. The ego tells you that everything that you hear, you have the obligation of weighing within you and either accepting or rejecting. Now, that is false. Now, if you begin to understand that you are just a vast accumulator of sparkling parts of consciousness, that you can allow them all the varying points of view, including those that seem to be opposite yourself, if you just allow them to come into the consciousness, what happens is, if two people have very differing points of view, let's say you're going to construct a door for your home, and you have very different points of view. One person says, I want it to look exactly like the Greeks did it. The other says, I prefer Scandinavia. Well, you're going to have a difference of point of view. And the door is not, a compromise would be a disaster. You see, can you imagine a Swedish-Greek door? You see, the compromise, it makes it difficult. Now, so seemingly, these are two different points of view. Now, how to work with this on the very deepest level, taking it from the manifest form into the very deepest part of how you should live one's life emotionally, the kinds of things that you should allow into your life as you move with other people in some kind of a dance. What helps? The first thing to happen when you hear coming through your ears that sense of, I am hearing something I don't want to hear, when you become aware of that, just simply that, someone goes to do something and you realize, I don't like the way that's being done. Now, what you will find if you begin to be the examiner of your response, which is, as you know, what we've been yelling at you for lo these many years, when you begin to examine your response, you're going to the first thing that you are going to feel is a closed offness. There is something that rises up that says, I must at all costs defend my point of view. I must defend my way of doing this. Even if in the last analysis you don't really care. Even if the last analysis you haven't really thought it out. It's just your first ego response is, I don't like it. And if I don't like it, it is my job to make sure that those people outside somehow, I have to now begin the dance of manipulation that allows them to agree with my point of view. Well, you've all been trying it, and hasn't it been a marvelous success? There are fewer and fewer wars on this planet. More and more people are filled with love and peace and joy. It's not working. And if you could just understand why it's not working on an energy level, which is the only way that we can really share, then you can begin to do this in your own life. And the minute that you begin to do so, the changes begin to come. All right, talking about energy. You stand here with your mirror perfectly in place. You understand it because, you see, the thing about the ego, it has you gaze in adoration at your own ego mirror all the time. You're always, a part of you is gazing at the mirror and saying, oh, look at this beautiful creation. Look at what I believe. Look at who I am. And then somehow you feel that somehow the whole world must have that same gaze. Well, that doesn't happen, because they are gazing at their own creation, and they don't really care to just look over this way and gaze at yours, you see? Because now why? And the why is what's exciting here. The why is, the ego says, if you look at it, you have to do it. If you look at it, you have to believe it. If you look at it, you have to, in some way, act upon the knowledge. This is why the ego keeps refusing to allow you to accept different points of view. Because it says if you accept it, you are then bound from the integrity of your being to follow that path, to somehow become that kind of person, to follow that lifestyle, to somehow join with that mirror in an intimacy that you have no wish to do. Now, my friends, I ask you from this day forward to question that point of view. You do not have to become any of the varying ways that people are at all by just because you take in their point of view and do not find or quarrel with the way it works out in their life. You are not under any obligation to then mirror back in an exact replica of what is in their mirror. But let me tell you what does happen. Because the mirror is before you, and you are seeing it from your eyes, from your heart. It comes from you. Your view of it is there. It is what we would call the maximum in projection. You take all of your events, you assimilate, and you project them out on this screen of consciousness, which is like a mirror, and it mirrors back to you, and you see the world through the mirror that you have created. Now, when you begin to loosen your ideas about how this mirror is created, when you begin to see the joy and the delight of allowing yourself to select, which you do, select other people's pieces of mirror and place them with respect and honor in your mirror itself, what you have done is added to the depth, the beauty, the power, and the wonder of the mirror that you're gazing upon. It advances your vastness. It increases your deepening. It gives you a place of splendor so that you have an opportunity to see not just through your limitations, but through the beauty and wonder that other people have brought to your mirror. My friends, there is a question that has to be answered deeply inside yourself. What are other people in the world for? What is the world itself there for? Is it there, as some people believe, to mirror back your deficiencies so that you can spend the next lifetimes trying to become more perfect? Now think about that. I ask you to think deeply about that, because if you go into your own psyche with the power of your own willingness to see, you will run into, because it is part of the culture that you have been brought up with, it will mirror back that belief that the entire world is there to tell you of your limitations so that you will have a chance to change yourself, to become different, to get more holy, to become more loving, to be more reverent, to be more God-realized, whatever it is that might be in your deep belief structure. Now, if you believe that, my friends, then you are going to find yourself looking at everything outside yourself with only one thing that you're paying attention to, which is, where are they judging me? Now, we've talked about this before. It is a very rare person that says, show me all the beautiful ways that you're judging me. Show me the beauty and the wonder that you're seeing in me. This is not what most relationships are about. They set themselves up in these patterns with the idea that the world is there to scold them, to keep them in line, to somehow be the judge so that you can keep on pitter-patter up the ladder. So that how much longer are you going to pitter-patter up this ladder? You have been doing it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Buddha said, what is it, 2,000 incarnations? 2,000 incarnations? How long? And how do the ones who often get to the place where they no longer use the mirror of mankind that way, how do they go about it? They go about it by taking themselves out of mankind, placing themselves under Bodhi trees or in caves or on mountains or in deserts or in, baskets hung over, crevices in Greece, any kind of place that says, get the human element out of this so that I have an opportunity of settling this down and seeing what's really there. Now, if you've looked at your lives, most of you do not have that capacity. Your lives are situated and structured so that you cannot simply stand up and say, this is it, I'm going to go somewhere and just contemplate nothing, no more human consciousness, and I'm going to become God realized. Now, some of you, perhaps, but most of you, no. Not only can you not do it, there is no incentive within you to do so. So another way of saying it is, you are stuck with the human mirrors. This is your life. This is it. So what do you do? What is the way, then, for you to begin to use all of these mirrors? And the obvious thing is, you have got to make a deep decision that you're going to use the mirrors in another way. You have been trained to use each other for your judgments and your criticisms with the understanding that as you receive criticism, somehow you will become a more loving person. My friends, I ask you to look at that. Do you become more loving in the face of criticism? Or is it possible that you become more loving in the face of acceptance and love? Which way do you grow the fastest? When you begin to understand that you have been trained to use the mirrors of the world, humans as well as others, in a way that is not useful to you, then you will move to that part of your awareness that says, I'm going to make another choice. I am going to decide that every human being is here for one thing only, which is to remind me that although it appears that I'm looking at a human limited person, in reality, there is a mystery that stands in this moment, right here and right now. And if I choose to, I can begin to see this seemingly separate person in a different way, and they will reflect back to me who I am in a different way. And you begin by doing this, by remembering such things as, in all of the deep teachings of, say, things such as Buddhism, they say to the student, there is a blind Buddha here in your hatha, make it see. What does this mean? One of the deepest teachings that comes out of Buddhism, which is appropriate to anyone who is seeking God realization. What is this deep truth and how is it usable for you? Let me tell another lie, but I hope that the lie will in some ways be helpful to you. There are two sets of eyes. There is what I would call the very definite eye of the ego that is always trying to see and to make sense of the separated slivers of the mirror consciousness that are always before you. Always trying to understand, trying to weigh things, trying to judge things. Shall I take this in? Shall I believe it? Shall I decide I don't believe it and push it away? What shall I do? There's that part of you that's endlessly going on, a ritual of judgment that is always taking up all of the energy of your awareness. There is another set of eyes, in the Buddhist tradition, it's the eyes of Buddha. If you prefer, the eyes of Christ consciousness, the eyes of God, it doesn't matter. Name it, please, whatever your deep inner core spontaneously responds to. But a way of speaking, and of course, please understand it's an allegory, there's a total other way of seeing, another set of eyes, another set of eye. There is another I within you. A single I, so we should never say, I, obviously, a set of eyes. So an I, the I that is the I of you. Now, as you begin to realize that every moment of your life you are using your environment in one way or another, it behooves you then, as that who is the director of your consciousness, to go deeply within and decide moment by moment which eye you are going to use. If your eye be single, the being is filled with light. Now, wonderful words, very meaningful words. How do you access it? Now, we repeat again, and I'm sorry for the repetition, but you know there's only so much that can be said. What needs to be understood is, as you look into the mirror, if you are looking at the mirror in the morning, do you ever really believe that the face that you see in the mirror is you? Do you honestly, unless you have something very strange to ingest before looking at the mirror, which I understand strange things can happen that way, do you ever really take the mirror image as you? Do you really somehow think it is the real and that the one who is looking into the mirror is the false? This never occurs to you. And yet, if you begin to look at how you view this whole subject that we have brought before you today, you will realize that in this instance you do believe it. As you look out at all of these mirrors that are outside of yourself, as you very carefully watch for all the nuance, for the body language, for the changes, for the tone, for what you hear from them, for what you see and what you feel from them, not only other human beings, but life itself, streets on your in your township, trees, villages, valleys, mountains, you're always waiting to receive from the external mirror something. And in this way, you are giving the external more validity than that which is looking at it. And as long as you continue this ritual, you are subject to what I would call the dance of change. Because just as the mountain can be crystal clear and pure and seeable on one day, by the dawn of the next day, it is shrouded in cloud. It is all dark and rumbling and lightning and thunder abound everywhere. And then where is the truth of what you saw yesterday? Which is the real mountain? Are they both real? Are they both having the same lesson for you? What is the reality of what you're looking at? As long as you are looking at the mirror outside and believing it to be you, then you are caught in the dance and pain will be the end result. When you decide to listen to such things as this and other things that I hope tell you the same thing, when you decide to realize that what is important is not the mirror image, but rather who is looking at it, with what eye are you looking at that which seems to be outside of you, when you begin to keep asking yet again that question, then you begin to see in a different way. This is not hard to do. The reason it is not hard to do is that you don't do it. If you had to do it, it would be excruciatingly painful. But you are not the doer. Remember, I ask you, some of you who are really sincere seekers, I would just throw this koan out between now and the next time we meet. Would you just dwell, if you can, on this? You are not the doer. You are not the doer. You are not the doer. Just let that run, please, through your awareness, those of you who have a sense of what that might mean. You are not the doer. Now, to go back to this moment, when you begin to be alive to the fact that there is a single eye within, somewhere within, that has the capacity, without you having to learn how to do it, that has the capacity to see from another space of your awareness, when you just begin to ask in the sweetness of the moment, see it for me, look at it for me, view the mirror outside for me, please. When you begin to ask, and then in your sweet, gentle waiting, wait for the motion and the feeling to come upon you, it begins in its old gradation to happen. It happens not because of you, and not in spite of you, but with you. It happens in a collaboration, if you will, of consciousness. Something begins to happen when you begin to realize that you have gone to a tremendous amount of worry and work to create a manifest world. What remains is for you to decide why. That the world is here, you cannot doubt. It is constantly before you. No matter how simplistic you make your life, the created world is there. Why? Do not let me answer for you. Let that deep part of your deepening awareness, and all of you who choose to come on a day like this, have a deepening awareness happening moment after moment, week after week, a deepening that is beginning to realize that there is something mysteriously magnificent that is waiting to see everything for you in a very new way. Let us say, for example, that you are in a position in your life where you feel stuck. Things are not moving in a way that feels in a flow tone for you. Perhaps you have had moments of some realization and you feel yourself to be left in the doldrums of consciousness. And you keep looking outside yourself for the indications of what you should do. Should you move here? Should you leave this? Should you get a new job? Whatever it might be. Now, all of that looking without is the old pattern that says, if you look at the external long enough, you're going to figure out what you should do. I want you, please, to realize that eventually you will come to it, but it's the long path. The short path is to realize that whatever seems to be outside of you is there for only one purpose, which is to mirror back for you the mystery of the fact that you don't understand anything. Do you understand anything? Do you know why you were born? Do you know why you were here? Do you know what your job should be? Do you know how you should relate to this? What do you really know? When you begin to get to that place that says, I don't know anything. I get up every morning and I go through all the paces and I hope it's working out, but do I know? Do I know this is the right thing? Do I know it's appropriate that I do this, that I do that I say this, that I move here? Do you know? And as you keep looking outside yourself for the world to say, oh, yes, good boy, good girl. Good boy, good girl, you're doing it right, you're doing it right. All right, stop and think about that. That means that something outside yourself knows what those inner motions of life are, and you have decided, instead of asking the essential question, which is there anybody in here that knows? You keep asking the same question, which is, will all of you tell me? This is the great age of the asking. You know, and in one sense, now let's talk carefully about computers, because those of you that have listened to this all these years know that there's something wonderful and mysterious in the whole computer world. It's very exciting. And I think those of you that work with them, when you can get past all the limitations of the plastic and so on, there's something magnificent. It's truly exciting. But at the same time, the difficulty in the whole upwelling of a computer is now we have... outside of you, now in a plastic box, some kind of mysterious wisdom. Now, you can say to yourself, yes, we program them and we do this and we do that. But even in the use of the computer, you have separated yourself out from the actual fact of running the actual working out to the end of the answer. So, in a sense, the computer is a very extensive sense of saying the wisdom is outside oneself, and you even use the words, I access it. I access it through the computer. Now, that computer, in your frame of reference, is outside yourself. Now, in truth, and let's not go into this too much because I don't want you to bang your heads against the wall, in truth, the computer is not outside of you. There is nothing outside of you. But without wanting to wander down that road, let's just stay with where we are. So now you have to understand, please, that all of that outside assessing, accessing, is what you do constantly. You access the data of your own rightness by the external world. You have got to stop this. And I will tell you that as things move into the 1990s and things become more and more you aren't going to be able to understand it. You aren't going to be able to know why. And when people say, oh, I know why the 1990s are happening, they're happening to rid the planet of the people that have this and that. Do you really know that? Do you know why any of this is happening? You can hear, you know, long lectures and people can say, well, you know, I come from Neptune and from Neptune I see that this is what humans are happening. And my friends, you don't know. Not only do you not know what's happening on the planet, you don't know what's happening to yourself. You don't know why. Do you know why you are doing what you're doing? Do you know from that place in you that has the wisdom? No. The first road to this kind of freedom is to sit there with all your good humor intact and say, I haven't the foggiest idea. I don't know. I've lost this. Do I know why? No. I'm getting this. Do I know why? I don't know. This has happened that I don't know. I don't know. That wonderful sense of humorous humility, humorous access of what you have always been running away from, which is you don't have the foggiest notion. And you don't have to. And that is the delight. That is the delight. You do not have to know what is happening. There is one thing you do have to know, which is something is happening. That you have to know. Now, I mean something very specific when I say this. Some of you are so good at not being present. If I could put it another way, very tactfully, of vacating your body, of not being there, that you end up at Safeway when you thought you were going to the spa. How did I get here, you say? Well, because you weren't there. And things happened as they happened, and you arrived, and not any knowing of how this happened. Now, hour after hour, my friends, much things are going on, and you don't know what's going on. Because you're not paying attention. You are not listening. Now, what am I saying? You are not listening to yourself. You are not listening to yourself. You are waiting to listen to other people. Now, check this out. You're sitting alone in your room, in your living room. You've been there an hour and a half. Someone walks in. You begin to listen. You have not been listening. An hour and a half of your time, all sorts of things have come and gone in the psyche, and you have not been listening. You have not been present. You have not been a part of it at all. Most of you do your best to fill up the room so you don't have to listen to anything inside yourself. So you can listen. You see, this is the excuse. If it's vast, wonderful music, then it's filling my soul. Well, maybe, or maybe it's filling your mind so you don't have to listen. You have to ask yourself, are you filling your lives with life, activity, sound, to drown out your listening, to keep you away from listening? Now, the difficulty about really being quiet and listening, and I bring this to you with all the love that is possible in the being of things, the reason that you do this is because one of the major things that you are going to feel is lonely. There is a loneliness that rides through the deep resources of your awareness. And one of the things that the ego has shown you is that if the ego keeps very, very busy, then you do not have to feel the sense of loneliness. People come to me and they say, I do not have enough intention to find God. I don't have enough rocket fuel to find God. How can I create more rocket fuel? And I say very quietly, if you would just be still and allow yourself to feel your loneliness, the incredible, vast loneliness inside the being that is there because you are not conscious of your oneness with the God source. If you just allow yourself to feel it, you will have all the rocket fuel that you need. To run away from your loneliness, to contrive to fill your lives, is moving away from the loneliness. And it rides right under the surface of things all of the time. This is why in the depth of the night, when you have let go, you can awaken in the night, sometimes so filled with pain and loneliness and anguish, and you look at your external life and you say, I don't know why. But inside is this riding of this loneliness. Sometimes tremendous traumatic events come hurling into your life that reveal to you instantly your tremendous loneliness. Whether it's losing children, whatever it might be. Some loneliness that now you cannot run. It just wrenches open the psyche, and the loneliness, the despair, and the anguish is manifest. And thinking that it has to do with the loss of the child, you begin the search to heal the wound. I ask you to realize that all pain at the base of it is based on the same fact. The pain is there, The loneliness is there because a part of you will never rest until it knows the fullness of the connection of the God source with you. It will always be there. You can run away in as many ways as you can. And you know, the sad thing about the so-called New Age is it's providing you with a lot of toys. A lot of spiritual toys that can divert you just as easily as the toys of what you would call the world of organized business or organized whatever. Don't delude yourselves, my friends. There are many people who hope to be, as they would say, on the spiritual path, who have simply placed very firmly in place a whole other set of toys just to keep them from the loneliness. And they fill their minds full of lies. They say things like, "I love everyone," where inside there's only loneliness. They say, "I'm happy because I know I am the light," whereas inside there's only loneliness. Do not allow the ideas that come with what you would call the New Age to deflect you from the reality that the basic motion and the fuel of your consciousness toward God comes through the down deepest accepting of the fact that you are lonely. The minute that you accept this, and some of you have, obviously, the minute that you accept this and begin to allow yourself to feel it, instead of running away from it, allow yourself to feel the loneliness, to sit with it, just to simply sit with it. Not running, not explaining, not talking about, not making theories and theorems about, just allowing it within you, loneliness. Welcoming it, in some way welcoming it, because deeply within that pain, accepting that pain, comes the way out. The next few years, many of your explanatory ideas are going to start to shake. Ideas about the way things should be, ideas about the way things have to be, all of they're going to start to move internally and externally. There is no solution other than to allow all of the change to move and to take some time, moment after moment, to feel, to allow yourself to feel your pain. You think the pain is because something outside yourself is not going right. That is not so. Understand, please, deeply within you, moment by moment, that pain of consciousness is there as the greatest friend that you've ever had. It is not some melancholy, negative, dark despair. That pain is filled with power and light and motion. That loneliness, my friends, is there to remind you. It is the reminder. And the moment that you accept it, what happens as you begin to accept that loneliness is there, you begin to feel it, what happens is it begins to move in a new way. It begins to be what is called the warmth of the heart. That very sense of loneliness has in its very awareness, in its very energy power, the sweet warmth of the opening of God consciousness. That place where you least and last would look is where the key to the doorway lies. Do not run from that. Do not run out of that. Do not become somehow addicted to not feeling that. Because in the allowing of that deep feeling comes the solution. Remember, we stated early on in our early years together, the problem and the solution arise together. The problem is the pain of separation. In the pain of separation is the solution to the pain of separation. My friends, you do not think pain. You feel pain. People come to me and they say, I want to feel God. And I say, all right, let's start by feeling. And when you really begin to feel, what you're going to feel is pain, constriction, limitation, sorrow. You're going to feel that. That's what you're going to feel. And as we begin to allow that feeling, moment by moment, the feeling, what happens is in the feeling of that, there arises, because it's always been embedded in that feeling, comes the warmth of the feeling of the God consciousness. They are not separate. You do not have to get away from the feeling of loneliness to find God. You have to feel the loneliness, and in the feeling comes the God feeling. You have to simply trust enough. Why do the renunciates leave all behind? So that they can just simply stay with the feeling. Stay with the feeling. You do not have to be a renunciate to stay with the feeling. But you have to renounce something very important. You have to renounce the idea that all of those magnificent external mirrors are somehow going to give you this feeling. You believe that if you stare at the mirrors long enough, that you're going to begin to understand, that you're going to begin to have that internal feeling. Now, many of you in this room do something that is called the Course in Miracles. I bring this up because I would like to respond to that mirror that is very deeply in place in many of you. The Course in Miracles, as I understand it, says that the way to have this magic alchemy happen is to practice forgiveness. Now let us talk about what forgiveness means in terms of the model and the mirrors that we have presented today. Forgiveness means, in our frame of reference, the deep, soft, and gentle looking at those parts of the mirror that you have judged against, that you have said shouldn't be there, or if they are there, they shouldn't look that way. They should be different. They should look differently. They should act differently. Forgiveness is to be able to pull up and look at all of those parts of the mirror and say, stay where you are. You're appropriate. It's part of the wholeness. You have brought power to this mirror, and I thank you. You have brought power to my mirror, and I thank you. Those things that you find most inappropriate, when you look at them deeply from the soul level, you will find that they are the ones that provided the fuel for your journey. So as you look at the mirror, instead of saying, get out of here, I don't want you here, you shouldn't have done it, the forgiveness comes by saying, not to them, because I don't think they would understand it, but to say from your inner being, all of those parts of the mirror that you would prefer were not there, all of those parts of the mirror that you say were not appropriate, you have to begin to say your appropriateness is that you provided the power of the mirror. And in your presenting me with the power, I have been able in this moment to say, the mirror is outside. I have taken the power inside, and now I am willing to just gaze at the external mirror from a place within myself. And so forgiveness is simply saying, I now acknowledge the appropriateness, however painful, of that event. Not that you have to embrace it. You see, what the modern so-called New Age would say is that you have to jump up and down and say, oh, I'm so glad you made me pain. I'm so glad that you were terrible to me. I'm so glad that you misused me. I'm so glad that you abused me. Are you really that foolish to really feel that that is what is expected of this mirror? No, you are not to applaud all of the mirror and to cheer it on, to go on to do more of what it has done in the past. That is not the point. The point is simply to stay in that place within you, looking at mirror and saying to all of its parts, I understand why you were appropriate. Not because of the act you performed, but because of the power inherent in the act that propelled me to this moment where I am determined to be free of this mirror. When I am determined to be free of my separated idea that I am vulnerable to acts like the ones you have performed. Thank you. That is forgiveness. To be able to say from the deep part of self, thank you. Thank you. Understand, you have taken from within yourself in all of the many, many lifetimes, all of the actions and the responses, and thrown them onto an external mirror outside of yourself so that you could blame others, so that you would not have to be introspective, so you could simply reflect back the mirror quality and not have to claim any of that as your own. And as you add other fragments of other people's relationship with you to the mirror and all the things that happen, it becomes a kaleidoscope of great confusion. And this is why you can look at it and say, I don't understand any of this. How can you possibly understand a fragment that comes from not only this life, but past lives and very complicated interactions? How are you going to understand it? And you don't need to understand it. You just simply have to say, there is a part of me that salutes the part of you that was a part of this wholeness. I salute you. And begin to move moment after moment away from the reflection deeply now within yourself, because it's called the reclaiming of the projection. You just simply realize that every time you look at the mirror outside, it is here for only one reason. No longer to scold, to teach, no longer to analyze, no longer to judge, but simply to keep saying to you moment after moment, look past all of this. Look past the fragments. Look past the projection of the mirror to the face of the mirror itself. When you look at the mirror in the morning and you look at the face, you are not looking at the mirror. You are looking at the reflection in the mirror. Now, I've said this before. I will say it again. The mirror upon which you have placed the projection of each one of you, behind that mirror of projection lies the mirror itself, which is the God source. And if you will just sweetly and gently begin to look at each face, knowing that the job is to move through that which you have projected upon it, and just ask to rest in the knowing of the mirror itself as you see it moment after moment, it will begin to happen. As you begin to realize that it's just there to mirror back, not the reflection, but the mirror itself, which is the God source. If you will do this, my friends, with everything that you look upon, whether it's something beautiful and pleasing or something that is disgusting and disharmonious, if you will just remember you are looking at the projected in the mirror and you are looking and seeking the mirror itself, all you need to do, my friends, is to remember. And in that remembrance, that place in you whose job it is to access within you this power to see with the single eye of consciousness, will begin to see for you. But you have got to stop using your world in this other way. That is your responsibility. To realize what you have created, a projection, and begin to see through it, deeply into the mirror. People say that when you look into the eyes of human beings, you see the mirror of the soul. If you'll just begin to realize that, to whatever extent that may or may not be true for you, that as you see through what you have created and projected upon them, which is never the same as what everyone else has done, so you're never seeing the same projection, just move through that ever-changing, illusory projection and ask to see the face of the mirror itself. In so doing, the mirror itself reflects back to you that which you seek, which is the God within yourself. So forgiveness simply means stop trying to in any way understand and manipulate the projected faces. Just move through them to the mirror that stands behind it all. And as you begin to do so, your expansion, your view of your own God self accelerates 100-fold. Because, my friends, have you any idea how many mirrors you have out there every moment? Have you any idea the millions of mirrors you see in one day? And if you just understand why they're there, help them to do that which they came to do. Help them to do what they came to do for you. You created each other for each other. You created each other for each other. Remember. And in remembering, moment after moment, just remembering, the projection begins to fade and the mirror begins to move. And then you find you have an empty mirror. An empty mirror. No projection, just the sterling, magnificent, total awareness of the true self mirrors back to you everywhere you look. And that feeling is bliss. Think about it. Think deeply about it. The choice is yours. You can use each other and this magnificent created world for what you created it for. Or you can continue to use it for something that it was never created for. A million mirrors a day. How can your growth withstand such power? How can your expansion not respond to such power? And the power lies in you. I would like to thank you all for coming. And those of you that would wish to, let us mirror back to each other that which we all came to do, this energy as well.